Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
All right, the Niners escape Sunday Night Football with a win, beating the Dallas Cowboys 30-24. You know, Rod, I know that this was a good win, a necessary win. But when I was thinking of our major theme, I guess it depends on if you want to look through like a glass half full perspective, but the way that I saw this game, I don't know how you saw it. The Niners had an excellent third quarter that overshadowed probably like a below average game for the other three quarters. They outscored Dallas 21-0 in the third. So dominated. Like, that was the team that we've been waiting for all season long to show up, and they showed up and just looked awesome. But if you look at the other three quarters, Dallas outscores the Niners 24-9 in those other three quarters. So, well, great win, exactly what you want to see on Sunday Night Football. You beat your rivals. I wonder if people are going to circle this and go, oh, this is, you know, the Niners are back, blah, 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 blah. To me, it was more like they escaped this game, got through it, going into the bye. Hopefully they can get better. Hopefully we get Dre back. Hopefully we get CMC back, and maybe you can move on. But I wonder how many people are going to spin this as like a fantastic, excellent win, exactly what they needed. They killed the Cowboys on Sunday night.
Yeah. Like you said, it's a win. So yeah. that's the first thing, because
ultimate,
for me,
that's the ultimate.
Because for me, it was going into this week, it's like, man, if we lose this game going into a bye, it's going to be a long, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got it. Because for me, still, it's, you know, I hate to be the pessimist, but it's like, look, we got wins over the Seahawks, the Jets, the Patriots, and the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Seattle, you know, when it's all said and done, we will look back on and say are a decent team. The rest of those teams are all in various ways, shapes, and forms, you know, really struggling. So, again, it's a good win. It's nice to get a win over your rival to go into your bye week feeling, you know, somewhat good. But like you say, you take out that third quarter and it's just not very good. But you can't take out the third quarter.
Yeah, it all matters.
All of them matter. And as when we go into the things that we liked and we didn't like, both sides of that coin for me will be covered. So good win. Glad to get back to 500, and hopefully this is arrow up for lots of reasons, which I'm sure we'll get into as we move forward.
You mentioned Seattle. They got worked by Buffalo today.
Yeah.
Niners play Buffalo in a few weeks. So that
100%.
You know, just Buffalo
in Orchard Park. So yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that I think they said that was the game the weekend after Thanksgiving. So not too far away from today. The other way that you could kind of look at this, and this is what I was hopeful about, and you know, Dallas not having Micah Parsons, they lost their starting running back before the game even started. The idea that the Niners just have their number, and they were kind of the thing that the Niners needed in order to get to the bye. Like, Dallas Cowboys are the Robitussin for the 49ers getting a cough. Like, it's just whenever the Niners need to get right, it seems like they can do so against Dallas. So this is a game that they usually win, and Dallas is always going to be game because Dak, I don't think Dak played great today. Like, if Dak doesn't make a couple of those throws, they may very well have been right there at the end without the defensive secondary breakdowns for the Niners. But this is just a good matchup for them. So I was very happy that it was Dallas coming into town before the bye. So let's talk about some of those things that we liked, because there was a decent amount, I would say. I think you kind of have to start with National Tight Ends Day. I thought before the game started, I thought Kittle was going to have a big game. I looked at the starting lineup, and it was Debo, pneumonia. I don't even know if this dude played today. Like,
that's crazy. Shout out to
Debo for even suiting up. Just ridiculous.
And you heard people all week, you know, shitting on him. Excuse my language. Shitting on him for not showing up. I mean, pneumonia.
Yeah.
Ass wouldn't be at your desk job for a month if you had pneumonia, and he's out here, you know, making plays on the football field. And you know, it stands to reason, if you ever had it, I can't imagine, you know. And it's like he come, they say he's every other play almost, yes, to come back to the sideline and catch his breath. And that shit is wild to think about playing, you know, spending, having pneumonia so bad you have to spend 2 days in the hospital, you know, getting your fluids and stuff and trying to clear your lungs, and then to come on and play a football game. So like you say, shout out to him for,
Debo,
for you know, putting in the effort. 7 targets, 4 catches on those 7 targets, and 71 yards. Good for him. 17.8 yard average.
Had a touchdown taken away because of a holding call as well.
Right. So it was a big game for him, I thought, especially pneumonia considering. Yeah, that was awesome.
But Debo just playing is one of those things on the like list. As long as he doesn't get further sick, like, you know, yeah, there is a risk of that, I'm sure. But when you looked at that starting lineup, you're like, okay, Debo, okay, Chris Connolly, Ricky Pearsall's number 3. I was like, they're going to need a big game from George, just mm-hmm. because the wide receiver, like, if you're Dallas, you're like, we're just going to load up on the run. Like, this offensive weaponry from the passing game does not scare us at all. And that's kind of what they did. But George Kittle was awesome. And this, you know, he's created this football holiday. You knew he was going to show out. He is, I feel like he and Purdy are kind of like how Purdy and Ayuk were last year, where he just knows where George is. He missed George on one where I think it was 3rd down, and George kind of ran a route and they were in a zone, and the DB like stayed in a spot, and Kittle kind of tried to run around him, and Brock kind of threw it before Kittle turned around. But other than that, they were money. And, you know, you and I have been talking about this pretty much for the last couple of years, in that You know, George now 31 years old. He is further away from his prime than he is in his prime. And he still is so valuable to them as a blocker. To see him get out and scoot and run routes and catch passes and get over 100 yards and score touchdowns, it's just so fantastic to be able to see him still do that after all these years.
Well, I am happy to eat crow because I know 3 weeks ago I was wondering out loud if those days were just gone. I mean, because he's 31 years old and all that, and we hadn't really seen it in the last, you know, year and a half because of his blocking responsibilities. And I guess the advent of BA kind of stepping forward as our primary, our lead pass catcher in terms of targets, and then just the versatility of both Debo and CMC, it just the necessity of now he's had some big weeks, and like 2 years ago he, you know, popped out of nowhere and had that double digit touchdown year. But, you know, it wasn't really the outside the numbers is where, you know, in 2018 and 2019 he mm-hmm. really differentiated himself and made himself all that wide receiver money, in that he was basically playing the X for us in those years before Ayuk and Debo established themselves as players. He was literally lining up all across the formation and made himself more than just a tight end. So again, I thought those days were gone, but clearly not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso used to say, he still is a viable threat. And, you know, with the absence of Ayuk and, you know, Debo being in and out, and then, of course, CMC being gone, we've really needed him, and he's really stepped up. So, yeah, it's really, really good to see. And it's one of those situations where, obviously, I'm glad I was wrong about maybe that being – because, you know, you just – Father Time is undefeated. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, it would be necessarily a bad thing if that was – you know, if his game just – It changes, and I'm sure it will at some point where, you know, he's a smart player and he'll still be effective, but, you know, the big play won't be there forever, but it's still there now. And
here's an interesting question about him, because we see Kelsey.
Yeah.
Kelsey is, he's at least 5 years older than Kittle, I think. Mm-hmm. Now, Kelsey does not help out the pass blocking and the run blocking
right.
like Kittle does. And he is, you know, I think a lot of people are saying, yeah, he's kind of chilling right now.
And he just wants also, to be healthy. He people forget that he didn't really establish himself until he was like 25 or 26. So he wasn't as impactful as George was early in his career. And so, you know, the back end might be different. And like you say, unlike George, everybody seems to think that he's, you know, they're just kind of, you know, whatever he gives them in the regular season is just a bonus. They want to, you know, him to be as, you know, strong as possible in the postseason. And that is not George's situation at all. Yeah. We are leaning heavily on him right now.
So what do you how do you think George is going to age, though? Is George going to age in a way where he loses a little bit in the passing game, or is he going to age in a way where they kind of protect him and utilize him more and not expect him to beat up his body as much by all of the blocking that they do? With the way that Shanahan runs the team, I can't imagine it's that thing. But if you use George as a secondary tight end rather than as your dominant blocking tight end, like you bring in the blocking version of George and you have George, you know, mostly come in as a receiver. I do wonder how he ages in today's NFL.
Well, I wonder that. I also wonder, because I think that just based on his style of play and the proliferation of the Shanahan offense, I don't think that George is going to have to take a huge pay cut in his next contract. And then the question is going to become, are the Niners willing to pay a 34-year-old tight end anywhere near the top of the market? Because I think there will be teams that will be willing to pay him. So that's going to be what's going to be interesting just as we move forward with all of these guys. You know, people, I know people hate talking contract, but with Brock getting paid, which I don't, you know, there's talk about, you know, with him kind of struggling. He didn't struggle today at all. He was really good.
I thought he was really good.
But if they, I just don't see, even if he shat the bed the rest of the year, I don't see any way that they're going to avoid paying him $55 million a year. So it's going to be, this is what has been interesting to me with all this talk about, you know, every walk, you know, as we move towards a trade deadline, trade for this guy, trade for that guy. I just don't think the 49ers are in a position to give up draft picks, because I think as we move forward, it is going to be very important that they have all their picks and they hit on a good number of them just to continue. If we're going to continue as a contender, they're going to have to hit on those picks or decide they're going to take a step back and, you know, do a rebuild or whatever that looks like. I just don't think they can afford to, with Brock getting paid, I don't think they can afford to give up their picks. And then it's going to be a question of guys like Debo and guys like, because, you know, BA is here, you know, with that contract he just signed.
Yeah.
But Debo and Kittle are ones that, it's going to be interesting how they move forward with them. And do they just try to sell high? You know, because George is, you know, if he continues like this, you know, his value will never be any higher. So do you sell high on that, or do you just bite the bullet and, you know, re-sign it? Or I don't, it's going to be interesting to see how we continue to build our team with Brock getting, you know, the massive deal that I believe, you know, he deserves. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, and that was a lot of the conversation during the game, was Dak got his money. You know, they were even talking about, you know, his mobility is not great because of his crazy injury that he came back from. And he's thrown multiple interceptions in three games in a row, which ties Troy Aikman from like 1992 or something. Now Troy Aikman in 1992, you'd like to duplicate that effort, because he won the Super Bowl. Yeah. But, you know, so what happens is you sign that contract, and the people who are like, he's a really good player, he's a really nice player, the expectation get raised. So if Brock, you know, 49ers fans think that Brock has it rough now with the national media, it's gonna get worse.
Because I just, you know, I'm one who really, honestly, I love Brock, but I don't think, you know, we see it in the NBA all the time. You know, you think you give the guys these money and it's like they're all of a sudden going to raise their level of play because they're the money of them. It just doesn't work like that. I don't think that Brock is an elevator like that. And as the pieces around him get worse, I mean, if we can't win the Super Bowl with the Avengers, I don't know what it looks like when it's Purcell and Cowing and BBD are our options. I don't know how that looks. And it's not fair to Brock to think that he is going to raise the level of these players.
Well, I don't know. The dude just... this was going to be one of my... because I thought he played really good. This was maybe his best game. There were still a couple of moments where I was like, oh, don't do that. But the escapability aspect of his game right now is tremendous. He can pick up his ability to pick up third downs or first downs on third down on his feet, I'm almost more confident that he reads that even better than, you know, whatever play that they're dialing up. I'm just like, wow, whenever he chooses to run, it is the right time. Now, there were moments earlier in the season where he was running around and trying to create time, and that stuff was not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he knows where he needs to get, and he looks read one, read two, and he knows, okay, maybe read three is open, but I can actually get here with my feet. That's the stuff that can win football games. And we only have to see from the Pat Mahomes perspective, because the teams respect Mahomes so well, and they're so afraid of him being able to connect downfield that they give up those lanes. And then, you know, he finds them and he gets those first downs that just move the chains. There's a lot of things to like about Brock's game today. That was maybe my favorite thing, is his ability to pick up those first downs just by the decision making. I thought that was.
Yeah, it's the only thing though is I don't know. It's obviously somebody like Tua, but he's just so slight.
And he's not sliding either.
Well, that's 100%. I think that I would rather have five less yards and just have him give himself up early, as opposed to, you know, who was it? I think it was somebody I was watching Red Zone today, so I forget which game it was, but it was one quarterback who was like, he feels like he's cheating the game if he gives himself up. You know, but I just think that's the horrible way to look at it, because you just can't afford to lose them. So while I get it, I get and I respect that competitiveness, I would just assume Brock run out of bounds or slide, because it's just every time he runs like that, my thing is, I don't want anybody to take a cheap shot.
Well, there was an opportunity today where I thought exactly that. It was, He was running, and he's going towards the sideline. And, you know, the quarterbacks like to stick out the ball so that they can get that extra half yard or whatever. And it flashed into my head that, you know, they could literally, you know, I think they were close. So the whatever the penalty is, right, like, you know, in the red zone, it's half the distance to the goal line. It's not even a 15-yard penalty. You take a shot at him, and if you're late, oh, well, you just put this guy on his ass and he's going to think twice about doing that the next time. And you're not really penalized. Like, that literally crossed my mind. I'm thankful that it seems like the defenders, they specifically don't do that, because I'm sure they don't want to get money taken out of their check, for sure. Well,
and not only that, it's that, you know, coming up now in high school and college, it is very punitive. You know, those dudes get kicked out of the game if it's deemed that you you get that personal foul. It's not just the yardage, it's an ejection. So they're raised up in an environment where, you know, they just don't do that, because you can't, you know, especially at those lower levels, they are so important to those teams in those circumstances that, you know, I'm sure it's drilled into them that they can't afford to be, you know, to not be out there. So they're always pulling up. And they were talking about that in terms of, you know, how Pat Mahomes specifically plays it, and that he, you know, does the thing where he slows down and then goes for more yards, mm-hmm. or does the pump fake. And people say, well, somebody eventually is going to light him up. I just don't see it. It's just not how they're trained. And then, you know, let's be real. You knock him out, you might not ever play again. You'd be on practice squads and whatnot. But yeah, that's just my concern with Brock. But you are 100% right. It seems like more so than ever, he is using his legs. Because that was something we talked about, you know, in the last couple of seasons in particular, is that it seemed like maybe that might be something he might be able to unlock, but he just didn't for whatever reason. But he has definitely done it this year. And I think today might have been the best example of it so far. So it's definitely something that adds to his efficiency and effectiveness. But again, I guess I'm just kind of scary in that. Yeah. I really don't want to see Brandon Allen or Josh Dobbs. So you know.
And yeah. Shelvin is hanging out in the chat. Shelvin, early in the game when the Niners were struggling to move the ball, he was like, did Shanahan like tell Brock not to run? Because there's opportunities there where we could actually pick up some yardage and some first downs if he did. And then in later in the game, that it, when he did start to utilize it, it was really smart. All right, what is something on your list that you liked?
Garindo's efficiency. You know, he has kind of been boom or bust, and we got the boom several times today. But, you know, even in his non-huge carries, I thought he was very effective. Yeah. So that is good to see if, you know, because it seems like they didn't really talk about it, but I don't think that the national media really follows it. They talk about that shoulder thing, well, like it was something new, but, you know, Mason was out last week in the game because of his shoulder popping out or whatever. And that just seems, you know, from my little knowledge of football, that's something that doesn't just get better. So hoping it'll be good for him to have a week off. But, you know, anytime he gets hit up high, it's just going to be, it's something that could be an issue ongoing. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you about with Christian. Hopefully Christian will be back. But yeah, I was really impressed with his efficiency and his just growth as, you know, a running back. You know, it's been good to watch him just be more efficient.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice, up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The early in the season, when he did get a shot, he was not confident in reading, from my perspective. It didn't look like he was confident in reading the lanes or knowing, you know, where the lanes were. He was just kind of like running into the line.
Uh-huh.
And now, you know who he looks like? He looks like Raheem Mostert to me. Now, they have the same number, but like that same just boom, quick go. And, you know, we don't need to dance. We just go. And, you know, more often than not, he's going to get 5 yards. And I think he averaged 6 today per carry. And he had the one to close out the game where he also could have just scored a touchdown again. I don't know why he keeps stopping.
I mean, Kyle said it last week. It's like there are some cases where that is appropriate. But if you score in the last two situations where he was in, you put it completely out of reach with the score. Yes. It's not like giving it's not like you're up by, you know, a number or behind where you give them an opportunity where if you give them the ball back and they score and get a 2-point conversion, they can actually win the game.
Yeah.
You would have put the game completely out of reach both times. So he cheated himself out of touchdowns.
I know.
Which, I mean, you know, I applaud his unselfishness, I guess, but it's like a faux.
It just makes me think that he's not this like math. He didn't major in math in college or something,
or football math. I mean,
did you ever play Madden? Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's how I learned it's how to figure like out the clock was playing Madden.
It's really not a. It's not a. It those two times were not really very smart plays. But anyway, it was good. It was. I wish he would have went on ahead and scored them, but was. They were really big runs.
Now what you have is we know Mason is solid. He's been dinged up a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I know it's a shoulder injury. He didn't seem to have that same ferociousness these last 2 weeks that he's had, where it's going to take more than one leg tackle to get him down like that. That's really also a strength of his, and he hasn't had that. So to see the shift to the faster guy hit the hole and go guy, I think it helped. And if we're being honest, my guess is Shanahan's style or what he wants is more the Garendo style than the JP Mason style. That would be my guess. I you know, he probably wouldn't say that, but of course, who he would want most is CMC.
I was watching that Miami game, and it's just, you know, like you say, it's that style of back that McDaniel, I mean, he just seems like he wants fast guys, and he figures out how to get them, how to unlock them. It doesn't matter if it's Achane or Mostert or Wright in that offense. You know, just give me the fast guys and we'll work it out. And it can't be that simple because everybody would just get fast guys, but he just seems to be able to unlock them in a way that other teams don't. And I guess Kyle is looking they're competing for the same guys because Garendo is definitely in that style. And you said, like you say, when he's at his best, that one cut and go when he hits it, it just, it really just goes.
By the way, you reminded me. I bought a book off of Audible, or I have an Audible subscription. There's a new book by Mike Silver, who I guess he's recently started with the Athletics, who's writing national NFL columns. But he just put a book out called The Why Is Everything. And it is about Kyle. Like, it is exclusively about Kyle and, of course, the Kyle coaching tree. And so I got it, and I'm listening to it, and so far so good. But it gives you a little bit more of an understanding of Kyle. You know, maybe some of the things that he's a little, you know, insecure about. The book leads with the Super Bowl in with the Falcons and why they decided to kind of YOLO the game at the end there, and a lot of it had to do with his relationship with Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan did not want to be bossed around by the Nepo coach's kid. And so he kind of puffed out his chest himself and fought back, and they kind of bonded over, you know, being a little strong headed, the both of them. And in that Super Bowl, there were a couple of plays where Kyle wanted to scheme them in the Kyle way, but in the back of his mind, he had the Matt Ryan voice saying, you know, it's the players, it's not the plays. And so it's really interesting. It's given me, I've not even that far into it, but it's really given me a lot of insight into Kyle, into who he is as a game caller, and just as a head coach. So as I get through more of it, it's something that's going to be right up your alley. If you want to get,
I'm going to check, I'm going to go grab it right now. I got a bunch of credits on Audible. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to grab that. But I not even having heard that, it worked out. But, you know, I could hear the criticism of Kyle and not running the ball in that last series, where they threw the ball and got two incompletions and then ended up having to give Dallas back the ball. It's one of those things where, if we say, I mean, as fans, if we're talking about how Brock is the guy, then you can't shit on Kyle for putting the ball in his hands and allowing him to go out there and make a play. Because that's what I saw, is that he had the confidence in Brock to do the right thing. And if he saw that the numbers dictated, he can check to a run if he wants to. But if he thinks he can make a play, he's going to try to make a play. And I don't see how you can be on that one hand, argue all week long on how Brock is a top five quarterback. Brock is a MVP candidate. Brock, you know, is all of this, is Montana 2.0. And then be like, well, why did Kyle not run the ball twice? I mean, you don't take the ball out of Montana 2.0's hands. You don't. So it doesn't make sense to me how we'll, on the one hand, criticize Kyle and his play calling, but then we all believe in Brock to be the second coming. It's incongruous. If you believe in Brock, then you have to believe when Kyle puts the ball in his hand that he's making the right choice, is how I see it.
The way that I look at it is they're still very early in their relationship. Kyle clearly has an instinct, and maybe even a habit, in how he deals with these late game moments. I don't know if it's a stubbornness. I don't know if it's just, he's a smart dude, and he probably feels like the offense is always going to be at the advantage if you run the play in this sort of way. Like, if Kyle was AI, he probably believes every single play that he calls, his offense should be able to beat the defense. But then you throw in the human element of it. Somebody misses a block. Brock attempts to run or attempts to escape, and Dallas's linebacker or whomever reads it. And Brock knows, okay, he's going to stop me. Now, in that moment, should Brock have just slid and kept the clock going? Probably because he damn near threw a pick six on that play. But yeah, there's so many different elements to what happens. But Kyle probably thinks, I call this play, if we run it correctly, we beat their defense no matter what. And so it is on the offense's responsibility to run the play correctly. And so that's how he probably can internalize that, you know, that those moments.
And maybe I'm a Kyle apologist, because I think he's brilliant. And what I see is, I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said. And I think just the opposite is true. When we talk about him being conservative, what I believe it is, and I've always said this, it's not like I'm flip-flopping, I always think that it's like the quintessential example is the NFC Championship against the Rams. He saw that his offensive line was getting their ass kicked, and so he didn't have any plays on the play sheet. Aaron Donald is eating my offensive line's lunch. What, you know, I don't have any Aaron Donald beaters, so I have to try to protect them and call it conservatively, because if I'm calling 5 and 7 step drops, this dude is killing us, and there's nothing that any of these guys can really do, you know, especially in that game where Trent is even hobbled. So it's like, none of these five dudes can really is blocking anybody at this point. So there aren't really many play calls on the sheet for when your offensive line is just getting their ass kicked. What do you call? So, I mean, it drives you into a place where you have to be conservative. And I believe, like you say, on the one hand, when he's super confident, he's making calls with the assumption that these dudes are going to get the job done. And when they're not getting the job done, he has to try to call something that at least gives Brock an opportunity, or Debo, or one of the guys, or CMC, who he believes can overcome those other guys. You know, he has to try to call plays that those guys can, you know, kind of make a play. And, you know, I don't know. That's just what I see. I've never seen or felt like Kyle was calling plays where he just didn't give us any kind of opportunity to do something positive. Mm-hmm. But our guys have to execute. You know, no play that he draws is, you know, drawn up with the fact that, okay, Brindle's going to get beat quick. Kibitz is going to give up quick pressure in the middle. I mean, you can't call plays with that, with the assumption that your guys aren't going to get the job done.
Yeah.
As
far as another thing that I liked, I mean, the two interceptions, they were pretty bad by Dak, I thought, but still a lot of times you see drops in those moments. And I thought, Demo had a nice pick. And, you know, there's a couple times. I know Mooney got flagged for pass interference a couple of times. They were aggressively going after the football. They were trying to get turnovers. But then at the same time, when I commend the DBs, that fourth quarter was ugly. Like, that was like,
so that's definitely gonna be on the next segment.
Well, okay. I don't remember if we were talking about this last week, but yeah, it was. You made the joke that someone on the 49ers offensive line was possibly like, he got beat so bad that it looked like he was like point shaming. Like, they're leaving the only player on Dallas's offense who was having any sort of success. That is the dude they were leaving wide open and running into each other. Like, how? Of all the people.
How? If you know, it was so bad at one point. If you just triple teamed CD, I don't know that anybody else makes a play. It felt like he was their only offense at a certain point. And like you say, he's running free, which, you know, and credit to him, he's a great player. But damn, it just seems like, you know, as a defense, you know, thinking back to last week, that's one of the great things about Spagnuolo is, you know, he's able to just take away point blank period. Whatever they don't want you to have, you don't have it. They will just stop it. And we just have not, you know, there are just times where we have lapses and we aren't able to impose our will like that. And now hopefully we can figure that out at some point. I don't know. That was definitely one. We're not there yet, so I'm not going to get there. I got one more, if you don't
mind. Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
The defensive pressure. You know, it'll be interesting to see where the final numbers land. We got 2 sacks and 8 quarterback hits, according to the ESPN box score, but they don't count hurries. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how many total pressures we end up with for today. Because I have to believe that there were at least 5 more hurries, which ends up putting you around 15 total pressures, which is a lot. And, you know, Nick didn't have a huge game, but the collective pressures, like you had mentioned in the chat, Sam O was balling. Sam O was balling. So yeah, it's just it is what you hope is that the pressure that Nick creates on the other side and the attention they have to pay to him creates opportunities. And that's exactly what several of those Sam O hits and pressures were, was that Nick kind of forced Dak inside and he forced him right to him for him to clean it up, which is how this is supposed to work.
Yeah.
So it was really beautiful to see it come to fruition like that, because that is what this whole defense is predicated on, is that. And then it just makes everybody better. If we can hurry them, it makes our DBs better. It lets them be more aggressive. And, you know, it's just our DBs aren't set up to be having to be out there covering for 4 and 5 seconds. It's just not how the defense is set up. So if we're not getting pressure up front, it, you know, people talk about, well, we need better corners. Well, no, that's not, we don't spend all that money up front to then have a bunch of all pros on the back end. That's just not, you know, you can't do that. It's not Madden. So we have, you know, again, I'm not saying, you know, Demo and Mooney are definitely above average corners, and it's going to be reflected in what they make next year, and which is why they probably won't be here. But they are made much more effective when Nick and the boys up front are wreaking havoc and getting the quarterback off their spot, which they did a lot this game.
And I guess I'll just mention one more thing before we go to the negative things about the game. With Ezekiel Elliott had his longest carry. I forgot how they phrased it, but his longest carry in a long time today was 11 yards. And so he is the definition of 3 yards in a cloud of dust these days. Take that carry out of his numbers, and he was 9 for 25. So I don't know why Dallas tried to even run the football. To me, their best bet was just spreading things out and trying to get the Niners on their heels. because you know, Dalvin Cook, he was supposed to come in, and like that was an interesting game plan. And maybe they were trying to take advantage of the fact that maybe because they were making these defensive adjustments and trying to force the Niners into stuff, that they could keep kind of a low scoring game going and control the ball. But they had no business running the football today at all. And that was because the Niners weren't, you know, they were going to stop that. And some of that is Ezekiel Elliott is not the same guy. Some of it is, you know, the Niners, the defensive line played really well to stop that. So I just want to mention that. Okay, let's get to the other stuff. I guess the thing that I wanted to point out is after last week, I thought it was really important for them to come out and have some intensity and have some, you know, they're playing at home Sunday Night Football. You got Patrick Willis and Frank Gore ringing the bell. Like there is a lot of excitement. You know that some of those Cowboy fans bought some of those Niner tickets, so they were going to be in the stadium. And they came out just as flat as they were last week. The difference is that the Chiefs are a really good football team and the Cowboys are not. The Cowboys are an average football team. So, it took them until the third quarter to get going. I don't know how often they're going to be able to start that slowly and still win football games against good teams.
Absolutely. And I mean, it is uncanny. It's like we would be talking. But those are the two things I like, and we've basically covered them both. Early struggles, a slow start, 6 points at halftime, missing that fourth quarter conversion. So that just recapped what you talked about. And then on the bookend of that is the fourth quarter lapse. Two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. It didn't have any – after that third quarter, that game had no business being that tight, and the Cowboys had no business, you know, with 3 minutes left to be driving – to take the lead. It was like, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things like, it's like, oh shit, here we go again. Are we going to blow this lead again? You're going to let these dudes hang around and dominate them. And then, you know, we lose it at the end. That would have been disastrous for us, but they they bowled up and it didn't, you know, that last drive, you know, they kind of shut them down, and that was great. But it just, I don't know that you watch enough games, you see that's what the NFL really wants. They want it to be a one possession game. I'm not one who believes it's like a conspiracy or anything, but that is, it just seems like a lot of games end up within six minutes. They're one, you know, regardless of how we get there. You know, it's a one possession game, and you know, the team that's down at least has a shot. You know, and we found ourselves in that situation again. Kudos to them. You know, it's something I didn't like, the fact that the laps got us there, but you know, it was also, I guess, a thing I liked is that they were able to step up and close it out. So, yeah.
The one nitpick of the game is Chris Connolly started. He was on the other side of Debo. He ended up with a whole zero catches. There was one that he was thrown to on third down. He trapped it, so it was incomplete. Zero catches. So one target, same as Ronnie Bell. And so you had Kittle, Debo, Ricky Pearsall, and then Grendo out of the backfield for all of the and I guess Juice had one catch. So that was how they spread them out. I don't know if they expected Chris Connolly to, you know, to be, because he's been here and Ricky's still very young and hasn't had the reps. Maybe they could not put Ricky on that other side, and he's going to be better as a third anyways. But when Jennings comes back, which we hope to be very soon, I imagine Jennings is going to be the starting guy on the other side. Mm-hmm. And Ricky's still going to be the guy guy in the slot. And then Connolly's going to be their fourth guy or whatever. I think he started today because of he knows that position, I think is how it worked.
And they gave that explanation, but that shit looked like a pick to me. That's still like that on that one.
That was his best play.
mean, it, I don't know. That looked like a penalty to me, but I'm glad it wasn't. But it really looked like a pick.
Yeah.
And then the guy who is the official in the booth explained why it wasn't. And, you know, that's cool. I'm glad as a Niner fan that it wasn't, but it would have sucked if it had been called back, because we were still kind of, you know, if we don't get that play, you know, it's different. It's a different game. So, yeah, like you say, I hope that, you know, I understand he's a vet and whatnot, but I really hope that we get JJ back sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess he's got a whole, you know, another week, you know, with the bye to get ready, because we definitely need him.
The last thing, and it's kind of what people are talking about on Twitter. I mentioned it to you because you hadn't seen it, but they were talking to Kittle and Purdy and Garendo after the game, and Nick Bosa kind of snuck up behind, and I think he had like a homemade Make America Great Again hat, because it wasn't the red one that Trump is always wearing, that Tom Brady had in his locker that one time. So all he did was he snuck up behind Brock, flashed a smile, pointed at the hat, and then he bounced. And so after the game, they had asked him about it, and he just said that he did not want to talk about it, but it's an important time or something like that. So it was kind of like the streaker who's, you know, in protest of something, running on the field, and then when getting caught, he's just like, yeah, I don't want to talk about it. Like, yeah, I made this big thing, big spectacle out of nothing. So I'm going to give Bosa the benefit of the doubt. He probably didn't know that racism rally was happening at MSG today. and like, you know, I'm sure this was a plan from somebody from that side. Hey, you're going to be on TV. There's going to be 20 million people watching. If you can get the hat on. And so that was, you know, a lot of people are talking about it now. It did not have anything to do with the game. It's all post game stuff, but you know, I would have rather Nick use that time to be interviewed and talk about him having three sacks or whatever, but he was not one of those chosen three. All right. So let's talk about the blame. Actually, no, it's not the blame pie. What is it?
Credit pie.
The credit pie. How did you want to break down your credit pie in the W?
Offense, 45% with Brock's efficiency and Kittle's playmaking, you know, keeping the chains moving. I thought that was a big part of it. The timely interceptions, you know, shifting momentum. But the game, the late game lapses kind of hurt. So 35% defense, and then 20% special teams. Carlson, perfect. And then Patrick Taylor Jr., you know, giving us some field position, which is, you know, been kind of rare for us, you know, to get anything out of the return game. So that was my credit pie. 45, 35, 20.
There you go. All right. What about, I guess as we get to the end of this, we actually got through this stuff pretty quickly. We might as well get to our player of the game here.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Who is your Coach Singh player of the game?
I think this is 2 weeks in a row. It was George for me again. I just not only was it the stats, it's just that he was, you know, the most reliable target. I guess you could have done Garendo, and I guess if ever it was going to be, you know, this season, a Brock game, I guess it could have done that. But, you know, I just thought that Kittle again was the most impactful. Do you agree?
I was going to go, I think because it is tight end day, I think it is Kittle. Because, you know, look, if you and I were like, let's create 49ers podcast day, And on 49ers podcast day, we put out like a garbage show. Then you're like, come on. Like, you, if you're going to put your name on it, put your name on it. And that dude put his name on it. I would have had Brock as a close second. From the defensive side, Fred made some big plays late that we kind of needed him to make. And you know, he's always someone who you can see on the field. And, you know, sometimes when I'm watching defense, or the way that football is presented on TV, you're just meant to watch the quarterback and then where the ball goes. But when the 49ers are on defense, I specifically watch Bosa because I want to see the pressure. And then in other moments, I find Fred, and there were some moments where I found Fred and I was like, God, thank gosh that dude is playing. And it's also like, I can't wait for Dre to get back because he's going to make Fred even better, because Fred's not going to have to make up so much of the other side of the field because of the other linebackers who aren't Dre. So just something to watch. Like, it's a fun way. If you watch, just watch him. You watch Bosa. It's actually a really fun way to watch the game from the defensive side.
So. They play, him and Dre play so well off of each other. And it's just, D Winters is kind of Dre light. But I don't,
he got hurt, you know, too. So he got a concussion.
Yeah.
That was rough. Yeah,
there's so many times when Devondre Campbell, God bless him, just, it finds himself in positions where, you know, he is just, you know, they're going to isolate him in coverage because that's just not his game. He is a moving forward run game linebacker. And, you know, you can tell that teams strive to isolate him and to put him in a blender and make him cover. And while Dre likes to play forward, he is capable. He's not, you know, he's not a rummy when it comes to playing in coverage. He can, you know, that's the beauty of him and Warner. But obviously, he doesn't play the pass as well as Warner does, but he is not, he's no slouch either. Yeah. When he is at his best, you know, obviously, Warner is one of the best in the game, but like leading up to the Super Bowl, I thought Dre was, you know, he was right there. It wasn't like Warner was, you know, head and shoulders above him. He was playing at a really high level. And it's going to be interesting to see when he comes back from his Achilles, you know, if he's able to recapture that. But I just think from an emotional standpoint, him just being out there, even if he's like 75-80% of what he was, it's going to be a boost to the defense.
All right. So next week they have a bye. I think it's good opportunity for us to take a week off as well. Mm-hmm. And then we can come back. I think they're Tampa. Are they at Tampa or are they home?
They're at Tampa.
Okay. So they're at Tampa. So is that going to be early game?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll be back.
Unless they move it, I would think it's going to be early. I mean, I got the schedule up here. Let's see.
We'll be back in two Sundays to recap the Tampa game. And, you know, kind of like Mayfield, he's going to make a lot of mistakes, but he's also going to make some big plays. I think we talked about that last year when they played Tampa. So that's going to be a good test for the secondary.
Yeah, it's an early game, 10 a.m.
Tampa's 4-4 just like us, right?
Yep.
So... yeah, so we'll be back then. And
Can we talk about one thing before we go?
Oh yeah, what?
Christian,
and whether he's going to play or not.
Well, I mean, it's kind of concerning to me that they still haven't opened the practice window. So I guess they're going to do that this week. And then I want to know where you're at, because I know where I'm at. If he doesn't play in Tampa, I am not too hopeful at that point that he's going to play at all. If he, you know, we go through the bye, they open the practice window, he goes through that week of practice or the week leading up, you know, through the bye week, however that works out. And then that whole week of practice, Tampa Bay week, and then nothing. I think, you know, it's a cause for concern. And so I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I asked you a few weeks ago now if the 49ers were dishonest in the offseason about the severity of his injury or if they just didn't know. And I'm still not sure. I would like to believe that they were not being dishonest. I would like to believe that they saw it as a touch and go thing that just got progressively worse until they had to make a move. But I'm not 100% sure, right? I'm not, I don't know who had the quote. It's been attributed to so many people, but I always think about it in this perspective when you're kind of like wondering if teams are being honest, like, you know, realize. And I kind of take the defensive stance with the sports teams when it comes to injuries and their top players. I'm hopeful, but also really worried like you that if there's not a, like that should be the first question that they get asked during this bye. When is Christian's window opening? And if the Niners are wishy-washy about that answer, I think that will tell us a lot. I'm hopeful like you, man, like that he just is, everything's fine, but I can't imagine everything is fine unless maybe he went to Germany. Maybe he went to some other place. Maybe he's getting some, you know, some crazy stuff.
Some stem cells.
Whatever it is. Shelvin just said his wife has that same injury and she's in a boot and she doesn't have to run the football 20 times a game. So. Yeah,
it's one of those things where it's, if he comes back, we're set up perfectly now. We're 4-4. We're coming off a bye. We get him back for the last 7 weeks. I mean, we are set up to, you know, do some damage. But if he can't play, I mean, it's gonna be tough sledding. In terms of making a deep run. I mean, I think we should still make the playoffs. I mean, but I don't, you know, in the NFC, I don't think that is any great shakes, you know, making the playoffs, because we should win our division because, you know, we're back right there in the mix. But I don't know, man. I think that if he's not able to play the last 7 games, it really dampens our chances in a way that if he is able to play, you know, I think we can still do some things. So I'm hopeful.
Yeah. We are not in a position of power here, right? We're just so reliant on whatever that injury report says. And if you believe John Lynch and what he's saying about no setbacks, he says he's doing better. He's improved. All those things are positive. And so we'll have to see. But yeah, that should be the main news coming out of the spies. When's Christian coming back? So, all right. That is going to be it from here. A win is a win. Like Rod said, we still have some problems. Hopefully the bye helps them get healthy and they could fix those problems and that we have some reserves who are waiting to get back and help out too, because 4-4 is fine. This could be a, you know, the same kind of team that goes 10-7 and picks up some speed, but they have a lot of holes on this team that they need to fix. And so we'll see what happens, but we'll be back in a couple weeks. Tomorrow, we'll have Thompson and Clark and Brad and I will be back talking about the World Series and not a lot going on in Giants land, but you're watching a lot of the players who the Giants cannot seem to sign in free agency who are doing some damage in the World Series. So we'll talk about that. And then Warriors got their first L tonight against a beat up Clippers team and Steph messed up his foot again. So Brian and I will probably be back on Thursday to talk about that. So,
and can we reserve the right to do an emergency pod if some crazy thing happens and we trade for somebody. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would be open to.
Absolutely.
We have a blockbuster trade and they trade for, I don't know who it would be.
Absolutely.
Deontay Johnson or somebody. I would, but I just don't think that's going to happen. But yeah. All right. Well, all right. You guys enjoy your bye week and we'll see you on the other side.
All right. For Rod, I'm Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.